With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Landry Football Podcast for this Wednesday, December 15th. On a little bit later than normal, we sent out a tweet there. Always can follow us on Twitter at Landry Football. As we were really tied up with a very hectic, very busy day. I know it's always busy, but signing day today. It's going to be the theme of what we're going to talk about today, but we'll get into a little bit of everything. But it has just been a little bit more hectic than normal with news coming out. We're going to get you caught up to date on a lot of the details, but we're going to go, as we like to do, big picture on a lot of things and what to make up of all the information, all the details that I think is relevant to today. But we're gonna leave all the details, all the minutia for those of you that are joining us over at LandryFootball.com. We've got all the news and notes, the latest, and we'll be going into the evening, the latest of what's going on. We'll touch again on a few of it. A few of the details and kind of how things play out. We are excited to be brought to you again by the great folks at the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM, the great folks at Odyssey, and my good friends over at MyPillow, where you can get great deals on unbelievable towels at MyPillow.com using the promo code Landry. More on that in a little bit. So signing day is today, the beginning of it, early signing day. We're going to get into a few things. One, what we should do with signing day, what is currently being done, what might happen as soon as next year, and how that might play out. But what is really the signing day, the early signing day, how should we look at it? You're going to hear a lot of discussions about who won, who's number one. We'll certainly provide that to those of you that want to know, how did my team do? And again, certainly bring your questions and comments in the chat room and join us. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, Landry Football, YouTube Live, Landry Football, Twitch TV, Chris Landry Football. You can join us in the chat room with your questions on anything doing football as we get through this show, and we'll get to them in the mailbag segment. But everyone's going to look at, okay, here's who won, here's how it's ranked, and that's great. Look, we have a unique website at Landry Football that we try to break through a lot of the nonsense. There's a lot of the websites that deal in recruiting that we'll talk about. This one's number one, number two, number three. I explain this often when it comes to the draft. It's not important where they're ranked. It's important how they grade. You have to have a skilled way to grade a recruiting class. And that is the quality, and combined with the quantity of players in your class, based upon the information and the circumstances that you have now. But as you grade them, if the grades are in an equal grade category, it does not matter where you're quote unquote rank. So for example, I use this in the draft all the time. If you've got players that are 7-0 grades, if there are three of them, then 1, 2, and 3, there's no drop off. You can stack them 1, 2, 3, but they're all of the same value, grade value. If you've got one player at 7-0 and you got three at 6-9, then there is a drop off from number 1 to number 2, but there's really no drop off from 2 to 3 to 4. And so I think that's really important in my view, and it is ongoing and will be until we wrap up recruiting in the latter signing day in February. I do think that Alabama, Texas A&M, and Georgia all fit into the category of what I would call elite recruiting classes. So this is how I grade recruiting classes from a team standpoint. You can get this at LandryFootball.com. I graded the classes based upon commitments prior to signing day. I will update that or change that based upon who actually signed once we get through this 72-hour period. But here's how I grade classes. There's this elite group, and I designate them with a dark blue color grade. Elite. What is an elite recruiting class? It's one that represents at least 70% of your class that ranks within the top 300 overall prospects. That's elite. That would be Alabama, A&M, and Georgia. They fit into that category. The next category would be the outstanding classes, which are the light blue, and it's a class that represents 60% of its players in the top 300. Very, very good still, or outstanding, as I like to call it. Then the dark red, and that's a light blue category, the dark red designation goes to the ones with very good classes. Class that represents at least 50% with top 300 overall prospects. A good class is a light red, which represents 40% of its class with top 300 overall prospects. Dark purple is well above average. It's a class that represents at least 30% of its class with overall top 300 prospects. And then light purple, which is slightly above average, it represents 20% with top 300 overall prospects. Average class, dark orange, is it represents at least 10% of its class with the top 300 overall prospects. Light orange is a slightly below average. Is a class that represents at least 5% of its class in the top 300 overall. Below average, the dark greens, class without any top 300 prospects, but with a number of quality 3-stars. And a poor class is light green, which is a player lacking in top 300 overall prospects and lacking in 3-star prospects. Okay, now, it is very simple and very generic to say so-and-so had a good class. Look, if you look at some programs that may fit into the category, if you're an Iowa, you could say they've got a good class, good for Iowa. You know, they do what they do. In my grade category, they wouldn't fit into the good category. You know, they would fit in probably the light purple to orange category most years. It doesn't mean that they've done a poor job. That's kind of who they get, who they normally are in a position to get. When I grade this, I'm not putting a criticism on the staff and what they do. This is a grading scale that's designated as such as it relates to building a national championship caliber program. So the fact that an Iowa gets maybe a light purple or a dark orange grade most years and can be like one game away from winning a conference championship says an awful lot. And there are other programs that do that. Utah is another example. You're not going to see them get ranked very high, but, you know, they're going to go and win a major Power 5 conference. That says an awful lot. And I think you need to understand that. Now, certainly how Utah recruits is good. Good for them and good what they do. Not good on the scale that I'm talking about. It's something I wanted to point out. I think the biggest couple of big storylines, and the biggest storyline we'll get to in a little bit, as the biggest team storyline is probably Texas A&M. Alabama and Georgia have been here. A&M has been close. You can make the case in the elite blue, dark blue elite category. The Aggies are in that group. They've got, would be considered, you know, four or five stars, even more than, you know, 18 four stars. I think Alabama with 3 5 stars and 19 four stars are kind of in that same group, and that's why they're very, very close. Georgia has more five stars. They've got five, and they've got 15 four stars. Now, a lot of it, the overall grading and how people will look at it is overall numbers. It's not done yet. It's really close. Folks, you're kind of fooling yourself if you're trying to say, well, this one had the best one. Again, those three, there's no best out of those 1-3. You can put A&M, Alabama, or Georgia as number one, and you can put them number three, and it doesn't matter because they're all in that same elite tier, and that's what you need to know. That's what you need to understand in this class. And then you go into the ones that maybe fit into the category. Look, you can get into any of the blue, the dark blue, the light blue, the dark red, and even into the light red. You can compete nationally. The higher you are, the more opportunity from a talent standpoint that you can get. With that said, that's all we can do to satisfy the appetite for you, the consumer, as to who had the best class. Here's the reality. That's based on film work, on how they look to this point. My friends, understand this, and I don't want to throw a big old bucket of cold water on anybody. What good does it do if you've got 8 to 10 players out of any of these recruiting classes that end up transferring or being off the team in 3 years? You can't recruit, you can't evaluate a recruiting class until 3 years down the road. You can't evaluate a draft class to 3 years down the road. You can't. You can't do it adequately because you don't know. Because you can say, well, it's now you got to develop. No. If they leave, if they become bad character problems, that's poor evaluation. If they're overrated as players, that's a poor evaluation. If they're not one of those things and you don't develop, yeah, that's a developmental problem. But one of the things that we're seeing now is you're looking at what we think is going to be and who we think is going to be there down the road. Now, you can look at Alabama and say there's a consistent number one class, and they develop well, and the results are there at a level that no one even comes close to. Georgia has won a title. They still could. A&M, the best they did in 4 years under Jimbo is a two-loss team last year. You know, so we've seen people have success recruiting, but they haven't won it. Ohio State's very good. In that outstanding category. Haven't won a title under Ryan Day. I know they've won the title before, but my point is there's a lot more that needs to be done from a developmental standpoint. But what is not talked about enough is there's a lot more that needs to happen to determine and evaluate the signing class. Because if they don't stay and they're not part of your team in 3 years, It doesn't matter how good they look on paper today. It matters who's still there. So I know everyone wants to focus on who had the best. That's the best we could do. I want to talk in a bigger view of, pardon me, what I hope is the last time that we're talking in December about early signing day. I don't like it. A lot of my coaching brethren do. Why do they like it? They like it, the assistants do, and some head coaches do, because it allows them to get the bulk of their recruiting done for this class in the books before the holidays. It allows them to get started on next year's class sooner because they have less guys to factor in and finalize for the February signing day. We have a dysfunctional calendar in college football. You've heard me talk about that time and time again. I'm going to rail on it again because we've got major dysfunction in college football. And it stems from the fact that the powers that be were so darn afraid of dealing with having to pay players and getting sued and this and that, that they wanted to throw them a bone any way they could go. Let's have a transfer portal you can leave anytime you want. That the hell with the ramifications of who it's going to hurt, how it's going to affect the game. There, good, just do it. Fine, NIL deals. The money's going to come from the outside sources. Hey, they'd have to pay for it. Boom, go ahead. Chaos, dysfunction. It's led to all sorts of what they would consider unintended consequences. They were, the minute they made these moves, I was on the front end talking about how this was going to create the dysfunction. What we have now has been clearly as forecasted as the sun rising in the east and setting in the west back when they started this. Look, we have a calendar that says we play a football season in college. We're going to have an early signing day in December. Players can transfer and announce anytime that they want. We end the season Thanksgiving weekend. We can't wait to the end of the season to fire coaches if we're going to make a coaching change. We've got to fire them early. We've got to hire a guy soon. We've got to somehow get a staff in place so that we can have some kind of signing day for early signing day. And then we hope that we can get that right. And if we don't, and then we lose transfer guys, and they're coming and going, it's like a damn revolving door that makes no frickin' sense. It's coming and going, no rhyme or reason why we do anything. None. I see it now more than ever. Look, I have worked in college football for a long time in a different era where you had different calendar. I've worked in the NFL now for over 35 years. What I do now ties me to both the college and the pro game on a daily basis to where I see and live and feel and am involved myself, and I'm working with people that are involved daily that are affected by this. So pardon me if I don't give a crap about what anybody on the outside says. Those of us that are involved in it actually know how it affects it. And here's what's going on with no rhyme or reason. It's chaos. Look, let's take it one by one. Most of you know my feeling of how the season should play out. I think that, first of all, let's take recruiting. I have believed that there's nothing wrong with having an early signing day if it's an early signing day. Let's have it late July, early August for kids that are going into their senior year in high school that plan on enrolling early or just want to get it known and sign the National Letter of Intent, the NLI, not to be confused with NIL, do that in August. Have that as a day, a first Monday in August or whatever. Have that as a day to where a small percentage of guys that want to make that designation can do that. Have a stipulation that if the current school changes a coach, head coach, that they could have a redo. And then if you're going to have an early signing day, have it early. Then go through the season. And as you get done with the season, I believe we should play bowl games. Then we should pick the teams after the bowl games, personally. But we go through the season, okay? And then we move the real signing day to the last week of February. Instead of being early February, make it the last week of February. And the reason why I'm moving it back from February 2nd to like February 25th is to give it more time. We have a cycle, a calendar cycle that takes the championship game until like the almost mid-January. It gives plenty of time for those that don't make the playoffs or bowl game, whatever, to make their coaching changes. So it gives you an entire season to evaluate your coaching staff, to make a decision one way or another, hire a new coach, hire a new staff, give everybody plenty of opportunity to go ahead and recruit and sign a class in February. The other thing it does, it creates an outstanding calendar for college football, which is important for the relevance of the sport. Think about this. We were getting ready for conference championship weekend, which was going to decide who was going to be in the frickin' national playoffs. And the only thing people could talk about in college football was Brian Kelly going to LSU, Lincoln Riley going to USC, and all the other big moves. You're taking the biggest week where you're focusing on those games and highlighting that. That's what should have been the focus. Now, I'm not saying if all those moves, I'm not criticizing those moves. I'm just saying imagine if we get done with the season. Now you take it to, you know, we've got now the we've determined who's going to be in the playoffs and what. Now, if we're having those big news, imagine how big that would be to create that environment. Not that I think there should be a coaching firing and hiring season, but that's just part of the world we live in football. Let's have a time frame where that can be focused on and discussed and create a lot of excitement. And then have in the transfer portal, if you're going to have a transfer portal, have a legitimate way to organize it where this is the time frame you can put in to go to the transfer portal, and you've got this time frame to do it. If you're going to be a college free agent, let's call it what it is, college free agency, and let's have a time where it starts and where it ends. You can't pick up one day say this, one day say that. If you do that, then you've got organized college free agency, which could be very, very intriguing. If you got guardrails, it gives you ample time to determine, you got your coaching staff together, you go out recruiting, you can evaluate your players on your roster between you and them, let them determine whether they're going to hit college free agency or not, and everyone kind of moves on, and one part of the calendar leads into another, into another, into another. It makes sense. It folds in nicely from one to the other. And then we have not only a good way to manage the business from the inside, but from the outside, the people that talk about it and are excited about it have something. The season. Then what are the coaching changes? Then who are they going to be the new hires? Then who's going to stay in and stay out of the portal? Then the whole recruiting leading into, imagine if you had recruiting to where you'd have college free agency, Then you'd have a stop point. Then you'd have signing day, which you can factor that in. If you're sitting there and you're a recruit, you'd like to know, I'm a quarterback, I want to go to school A. You want to make sure that somebody doesn't bring in two guys from the portal at your position. It's an opportunity that gives everybody a fair chance to say, look, we look at these recruits, we look at the transfer portal, we're going to operate both, and we're going to go and bring this guy into the portal and sign this guy. And let it all play out in a sequential formula to where you've got a big news cycle. I mean, you got a big news cycle all of January, all of February, where you've got free agency. Then you've got, quote unquote, the signing day, which is like draft day. And it creates, I mean, it would absolutely captivate college football and put college football on the front page of everything all the time in terms of the news cycle. And that's great for the business of it, but it's also great for the inside inner workings of how you get it done. It's going to change a great deal. The regulations and the guardrails are needed with the transfer portal. The NIL is a big part of it. Look, are you kidding me? What is going on with the name, image, and likeness? Players are going to decide, I had a really good year. I'm a sophomore. I'm making this amount of money on an NIL deal. I'm going to go ahead and enter the portal just to see who might be willing to pay me more money in an NIL deal. If I'm good enough, the school's going to take me back if I leave. Other people are going to offer me. That's how it's going to play out. That's what they're going to do. Now, not everyone is in a position to do that, but the elite players, the ones that raises your eyebrow when they go in, those are the ones that are going to get a lot of play. It's going to happen. They're setting it up. I got to tell you about my good friends over at the Daily Tip. If you're into sports betting, you know just how quickly the lines can change. And when you've got a lot riding on those odds, it pays to stay ahead of the curve. So before placing your bets, listen to the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM for the best betting analysis and information. There are a lot of fun to listen to, very informative, and can get you the insights that you need to be very successful in the gambling end of it. A lot can change between last night's games and today's odds. The Daily Tip gives you an early look at all the angles. Hosts Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messinger break down the big takeaways and make sure that you know everything you need to bet smarter. With featured guests like bookmakers, Odyssey insiders, and BetMGM experts, you've always got a fresh take on the action. Your friends will be wondering what you know that they don't. Not that you have to tell them where you heard it. As much fun as it is to bet on the game, it's even more fun when you've got the inside scoop. Ready to bet with an edge? Tune in to the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. Listen weekdays, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern on Odyssey, Spotify, or on your favorite podcast app. Great guys here. So the biggest storyline of the day was Deion Sanders, Jackson State, and the statement that was made by getting a player that was seemingly headed to Florida State, Suwanee, Georgia player, that was Travis Hunter, is one of the best players in the country. He's long. He's a little thin. And he's going to grow into be a great corner. He's got oily hips that can turn and move. He's going to Jackson State. He's turning down Florida State. Why? Just mentioned, it's NIL money. There is a deal in place. I believe it's with Barstool, but I'm not sure of that. It's a deal that Deion Sanders, it's a media relations. It's a marketing deal. Why did the kid do it? Well, Deion Sanders is looking for publicity for himself and certainly using the school and the young man to foster that. He gets the kid a lot of money, more money than he was going to make going somewhere else. Again, coming from certainly Jackson State couldn't afford it. Not that you can do it as a school anyway, but an opportunity from Barstool. Or if it's a combination between them and someone else, I'm not sure. But he's getting money to do that. He's not turning down money to go to Jackson State. He's getting a deal from them. Now, there's denials in that. Of course, we all know that there's a bunch of BS. He will make a lot. Deion's getting paid by Barstool. You know, that's why he's working at Jackson State and living, you know, like a multimillionaire, because he's getting paid a ton of money from Barstool. My understanding is that, look, we don't even know if the kid's going to play at Jackson State. I would think he would probably play there. But my understanding of the deal is, A, it gives great publicity to Barstool or whoever. It gives great publicity to Deion and for Jackson State. But it all goes to what Deion's able to do. But he's able to do it, and he may be able to do this for a couple of others, to where he can pay individual players money. Now, is it going to put him in a position where he can compete for titles at Jackson State? Of course not. Win a SWAC title. I mean, they're already going to do that because they're getting the money and they're getting things that the other programs in that league can't. So you're not competing at the highest level in college football, but he doesn't care. He's going to get his money. But here's the thing. It's a name, image, likeness deal. Kid can leave a month from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, a year from now. He can take the money because there's no stipulations in this deal. He didn't go transfer to Georgia next year or Alabama or anywhere he wants. Is that good? So he can make his money, still go play at a big-time program. He can do it all. Conversation, you come here, you make money, you're going to get more notoriety and more following that you did this at Jackson State. You don't have to be there. Hell, this is Deion. I may not be here in a year. I may get myself a bigger job. You can come with me. This is how this is done. Now, is this you hear this a lot. Well, you know, it says this was going to ruin it, the rich get richer. Well, it depends on what you're talking about. If you're a marketeer like Deion Sanders and you can go to big-time companies and get money to do an NIL deal for one of your players, and again, you got to publicly deny it, but you know this is how this stuff is being worked everywhere. Well, then you could do that. Now, who else is going to have the command the marketing skills and the profile to get that done? Not many. The other thing is, can Jackson State offer this to two guys, three guys, 20 guys? I mean, look, it's one thing to be able to do this. It's another thing to field a football team that's really, really relevant, really, really good. For example, if you want to pay 85 players, and they don't have 85 scholarships at that level. But if you want to play every player $100,000 a year, that's, what, $8.5 million. Could he conceivably get that done? Yeah, sure he could. Is that what he's going to do? No, he doesn't need to do that to win and maybe go 11-1 or 12-0 at Jackson State and achieve what he wants. So that's how that's played out. You go to Florida State, which is a place he really liked a lot. What does Florida State do? Do they have an NIL deal that's going to pay him as much as this? This kid's going to probably make more money at Jackson State than any player in this recruiting class, any player. Again, this is not going into the NFL where there's organized pay in a structured slotting pay scale. There's no salary cap. So I don't know. We won't know how much he'll make, and it'll be revealed and thrown out. We may be able to find this or that. No record of it. But what I understand is he's going to make more money than he would have made at Florida State or anywhere else because he's it's a marketing tool. It's what it is. And so we're going to have some of that. And Deion is one of the few that could do it. Is Hugh Jackson, new coach at Grambling, going to be able to pull off the same thing? Well, he can. Is he going to be able to? Don't know that. Don't know that we're going to get that. And do you have enough big-time boosters that are willing to do that? Well, Deion doesn't have to. He doesn't have to do that. In fact, he's ironic, isn't it, that he basically took it away from his school. A lot of them said he really wanted to do this because Florida State really not considered hiring him in recent coaching. Well, when they hired Mike Norvell, didn't take him seriously. So he kind of this is his way of getting back. I don't know about all of that, but that's the reality of what's going on. You've probably heard that Texas has got a deal now where all of their offensive linemen are going to make $50,000 a year. So in addition to everything they get, they're going to get $50,000 pay. Well, if you're an offensive lineman and you like Texas, they're one of the schools, you're getting $50,000 and you're not going to get paid with one of the others, what are you going to do? Well, you know what you're going to do. Until somebody says, well, we're going to pay ours a little bit more, and we're going to pay a little bit more. And so what do you do? How much money do you raise? Do you create a $10 million salary pool and divide it up on how valuable the players, the five stars get this? I mean, where's it all headed? Don't know. It's not regulated. Texas and Texas A&M. Texas flipped a few guys today. And again, flips are part of signing day. But you trace the flips. Why would the flips? We can get you more money in an NIL deal. Oh, but Chris, the NIL is something they can get when they come on campus. It won't be used in recruiting, they said. And I said, you either are the dumbest SOB or just extremely naive. Of course it's going to be used in recruiting. Certainly who can tell you that is legal and not legal. But of course, you come here, you can make this. Again, how are we going to organize this? How are we going to regulate this? Just saying. So that's how things played out with the deal with Deion Sanders and Travis Hunter. It is a interesting story, and look, I'm happy for the kid and the money, but that's just in terms of how it is playing out. This is kind of the world we're living in, and the problem is that there's no regulation on any of it because the name, image, and likeness is going to be used as a recruiting tool, and with the transfer portal, it never stops. So my point is, what is he getting to go to Jackson State? What is somebody getting in an NIL deal at Texas or Texas A&M or Florida or Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State, wherever? They are going to continually be recruited by other schools while they're at their school that they sign with the idea of, we can pay you more in an NIL deal. Fine, I'll leave. Because no restrictions on when they can leave. We'll transfer. It's no big deal. That's where we are. This is why, again, without people that work in the business, we know what's going to happen if you do X. We know that Y and Z are going to happen. If you don't work in it, you just think, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't. It's just, it's the people that are making decisions that are making it to try to appease one group, to try to distract them from what they really want. And, you know, I think it's become a real big problem. I think we're going to have to eliminate early signing day. Eliminating early signing day corrects some of the calendar problems that I talk about. It doesn't affect transfer portal needs to be addressed on its own. When you can transfer, when you can't transfer, all those things need to be ironed out. NIL, all three are different issues that need to be corralled, siphoned through. You throw them all together, and you have the biggest cluster bleep that we've seen in a long time. Oh, but Chris, we've had money going underneath the table all the time. Yes, we did. So the name, image, and likeness is something that is becoming above board. It's been done behind the scenes, but it's going to be done more and done more creatively, which, look, if you into that, believe in that, then it needs to be organized and regulated. Because, see, when it was behind the scenes, not everybody was as comfortable doing it because it might cause some problems, cause probation. Now that it's not a problem, there's more, hey, there's no risk. If somebody said, look, it's illegal to cheat on your taxes, and everyone would cheat on your taxes. Well, people are doing it anyway, so what's the difference? Well, the difference is if you get caught, you get audited, you can get in trouble. It's kind of the same thing. Now, it's licensed to go ahead and do it. No reason to not do it. You got no excuse to not do it, no risk to do it. And so it leads to that. Now, is there a limit? How do you want to do it? Do you want to have a pool? Do you create a pool? Do you put a limit on how much can be paid? Probably going to lose that. The horse is out of the barn. Toothpaste is out of the tube. You probably are never going to be able to say you can only have a payroll of X amount of money. You're going to only be able to pay a player X amount of money. I don't know. It's, you know, in the way you do in the NFL, Chris, it's collectively bargained, and it's happened over time. With this, you've just thrown caution to the wind, let them go out and run free, and now you're going to try to corral them and say, no, we're taking that all away. A lot tougher to do it. We're going down a path of college football that because the powers that be didn't get a handle on it, the greed of how they dealt with it, if they had, look, we're going to pay these guys and we can raise funds from outside sources to pay guys and create a salary on top of scholarship idea of the players, but we've got to form a college football alliance with these players and they've got to agree to it, they would have gone for it in a heartbeat 10, 15 years ago, but they didn't do that. Now, all of a sudden, it's come out and you're not going to get anybody to agree to that same deal anymore right now. I can tell you what is a great deal. It's my friends at MyPillow. You guys have helped me build MyPillow and help Mike develop MyPillow into an incredible company that it is today. And Mike Lindell gives you a great night's sleep with the sheets and the pillows that are so great that I love. But I got to tell you, they're now changing the game with this six-peat towel set. It's made of USA cotton. It's extremely absorbent. I got my hands on some of these. It's a six-piece towel set. The two bath ones, the two big ones, the two hand ones, and the two washcloth. They've got that incredible, soft, absorbent feel. that set is like $100, but they've got a sale for $39.99. You can get that entire set. That's outstanding. I love them. They're really good. I'm remember to bring one out next show to show you. Great job. What a great holiday gift. Check them out. All you got to do is mypillow.com, put in the code, promo code Landry, but they ask you to call them. Yes, 1-800-659-2338. That's 1-800-659-2338. Enter the promo code Landry, L-A-N-D-R-Y. What a great gift for yourself, your loved one, this holiday season. Get it done. Get it done now. Another gift, that keeps on giving all year long is LandryFootball.com. It's where you want to go to get all the detailed information, college football, NFL, recruiting, the draft, free agency, bowl game breakdowns, playoff runs in the NFL, everything from soup to nuts. As you know, we've kind of switched things around a little bit. We're just focusing on this podcast here. We're looking at maybe doing some of the podcasts we've done before behind the paywall at Landry Football. We kind of like doing this, and we're kind of like, you know, leading a lot of the detailed stuff that you can get over at LandryFootball.com. We've got some other projects that we're working on for next year. So we think we're going to do this one day a week. We are looking at the possibility, maybe expanding this, doing this a couple of days a week. Don't know. We're going to certainly take feedback and certainly see what's the best way to do it. But those are some of my thoughts. Let's get into, see, Kev Balargo's joined us with some really good questions today. And so we want to get to those really quick here. Appreciate Kev joining us. Kev says, Dallas defense looked phenomenal, but Dak Prescott made some very poor decisions in the passing game. What are you seeing when you break down the tape? Yeah, Dak is struggling a little bit. Listen, the defense is playing well, and you mentioned it. They made some big-time plays, created a lot of negative plays last week. Look, Dak is streaky. Dak is not someone, he's not the elite of the elite. He's not an Aaron Rodgers or Brady. He's a guy that can play that way at times. But more often than not, it's all built around the running game and his ability to create and make plays off of that. I think a lot of it is their system and how they're built around the running game. And he's, you know, I don't know that if there's some injury factors contributing to it, but there's been inconsistencies throughout his career that's made him a very good quarterback. And at times great, at times average, but he's been all in all pretty good overall. But that's what you're getting right now. And if they don't get the best of Dak in the playoffs, they're going to fall short. I mentioned it. We'll get into it. I think we got a question. If the Rams get that version of Matthew Stafford in the playoffs, look out. They're very dangerous. Are you going to get that? Don't know. Cardinals were outplayed by the Rams on Monday night. Do you see this as a one game or something more sustainable? Look, I thought the Rams were outstanding. Thought Matthew Stafford was great. Is that sustainable? Well, that's really the key. That Rams team is very, very good. The Cardinals team, I thought the Rams made a number of big-time plays on defense, and it was a difference. Look, I think the Cardinals are still a team you need to watch in the NFC. I think the Rams potentially are, but, you know, from a consistency standpoint, it's the Bucs and the Packers, I think, that are the biggest threats. Because I know that you're going to get what you're going to get out of Brady and Rodgers for the most part. Now, the other parts of it, I'm not quite sure. But on the Cardinals, you know, I think the best of the Cardinals are very formidable. They may have lost their chance or certainly begin to lose their chance towards home field. The Rams, a little bit more up and down. Are they peaking? Are they going to peak like the Bucs did at the end of last year? Maybe they are. Or is this just a, you asking, is it sustainable? Don't know. Honest answer, don't know. We know they're very capable. But can they do it consistently through each rung of the playoffs? Don't know. The final play of the Bills versus Bucks game, you talk about the coverage that the Bills were running. They had a linebacker manned up with Breshad Perriman on a delayed shallow crossing route. Yeah, they were in, looked like zone coverage there. Didn't like really. I thought they, you know, clearly, I don't know that that's the play that was called, the defense that was called. I think it might have been a miscommunication there. Don't know. That's what you don't know. It's just because you see a guy on him doesn't mean that who's supposed to be on him. Could have been a miscall there and, you know, miscommunication. I seriously doubt that's what you would have there. And Kev also says, can you address all the chatter surrounding Urban Meyer? Look, I think all the chatter with Urban is this. Things have been bad. They continue to be bad. They'll get worse. I don't think there's a real path to him surviving and coming back to Jacksonville. I think what you're getting is a lot of people that are not happy with him, that want him out. So they're leaking a lot of stuff that to try to grease that and make it more and more a possibility. I mean, look, I think the recent story that came out that he kicked Josh Limbo in the preseason practice, preseason warmups, are all signs that they may be trying to build a case against Urban Meyer because they owe him a ton of money. They're going to let him go after 1 year. They're trying to build a case against him to get some of that money back. Fire with cause in violation of a contract. I think that is in play. I think that there's all the things that are being said right publicly. Shad Khan, the owner, has come out and said, we're not going to make any rash decisions. That's the right thing to do. Don't come out and, you know, don't act like the media and the fans. Certainly, whether you believe it or not, look at it. Look, we're going to evaluate it. We're confident. We believe in him. We're going to go through the process evaluating. We want to support him, all those things, so that if you make that move, which I think they're going to have to by the end of the year, if they have for cause, they can make maybe lessen the check that they've got to write to him. I think the reality is he's not handled things very well. Look, I tell people all the time, having been in the college game, the pro game, it's quite a bit different. Dealing with the players are different. Dealing with circumstances, situations are different. Management, you're paying them, how you deal with it, how they respond, how you practice, how you talk to them, how you motivate them, how you work with a lot of things are a lot different. Look, in college, you can recruit your way out of trouble. You can recruit significantly better players than the people that you're playing against in the Big Ten when you're at Ohio State. Or you can recruit better than most of the people in the SEC when you're at Florida. Recruiting can save you. Look, even at Utah and at Bowling Green, he recruited better than the schools in the Mountain West, which he was in at Utah. That was before they made the move to the Pac-12. And at Bowling Green, he recruited better than others in the MAC. He out-recruited you. Well, if you take in the NFL, you have to build a team through the draft. You don't have the advantages of who you are. You've got the same salary cap. You've got maybe more money if you manage the cap to go sign players in free agency, but you still got limitations and you've got the draft. You can pick higher, but you've got to hit on all those and you can't flood the market by signing 25 of the best players for 2 or 3 years and be able to have wins that don't require any creative juices from a strategical standpoint. In the NFL, it's simply about it's about talent. You got to have a quarterback, and you got to have talent, yes. But the talent's more evenly dispersed. So it exposes your abilities as a coach to get more out of your team than the next guy. And he's getting exposed. He's getting exposed because he's got less talent. And he can't get those guys to play with the type of discipline and structure. Well, his teams at Florida or Ohio State or Utah wasn't the most disciplined teams. They were the most talented, and they were able to win games. But in the NFL, you can't, certainly at Jacksonville, you can't out-personnel somebody that you're playing. In fact, you're woefully inadequate, relatively speaking, to the people that you're playing. It's difficult, and you're seeing that he creatively can't handle it. He doesn't see an end. That, and positively, I don't see one either. I think this is going to be very difficult. I'd be very surprised if he returns. Let's see. Hey, Chris, did you get a chance to talk about Demaryius Thomas? I did not, Rich. We discussed a lot of recruiting in the signing day and answered the questions. Demaryius Thomas, Bebe was a really, really good guy, really good player. So sorry to lose somebody like that so soon is really tragic. Was a great talent, great player out of Georgia Tech. Big time player that go up and make plays in that offense and that wishbone offense. The one-on-one matchups were fun to watch. Then going into the NFL, he had a really, really good career. And was a big guy with a big catch radius. He had a long, smooth stride. Really, really sad. So thoughts and prayers to him. Thank you, Rich, for bringing it up. And thank you, Kev, for all your questions and thoughts on today's show. Bring a lot of NFL into the mix. We'll have the breakdowns, even more breakdowns on the NFL, as we're going to focus a lot on, we'll break down all the games as we always do, but give a little special emphasis on the playoff implication games. Bowl games, got bowl games starting this weekend. We'll have the breakdowns, the film room breakdown analysis over at LandryFootball.com, all the bowl games. We'll bring them out to you as the games approach, so check those out. We've got the Friday games already up. We'll get the Saturday ones up here in the next couple of days. All the latest recruiting information, all the latest news and notes from around the NFL, college football, transfer portal, you name it. We're certainly getting ready to put together all the draft information for you. So it's a great opportunity to become involved with LandryFootball.com. Check it out today. We've got a holiday savings special over at Landry Football. So take advantage of it. Sign yourself up. Do a favor to a friend. Give a friend of yours a gift to LandryFootball.com. You can do that. Go pay for it. Sign them up with their email address. Very simple to do. What a great gift. It's something that they'll appreciate. He or she will appreciate all year long. So if you would, help spread the word on what we're doing there. We so appreciate you joining us. Join us again next week for another edition of the Landry Football Podcast, all part of the Landry Football Network. So long, everybody.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.